This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2019, held in Montgomery, Indiana, on March 1 and 2.
It has been a great blessing to be here, and I've been fed and challenged and inspired, and I trust that you have too. I find myself to be very human, and I suppose that some of you do as well. So while I have big aspirations and fantasize about what all I'm going to put to practice from this meeting, I don't get it all done. So rather than spending too much time on how to, I'd like to focus on do it. That's what I need. I need to go home and do it. And I expect it's maybe the same for you. About 3 weeks ago, I was at a business management seminar. Now that I'm trying to be a good business owner or a productive business owner, and somebody told me that everything I do is wrong. Everything that is happening at my business is wrong. Everything I believe is wrong. Now, red flag goes up, of course, right? Maybe even the way that I run my family, it's wrong. All wrong. At first I bristled at this idea and I said, you know, it's impossible. It's not all wrong. And then I came to understand a way in which it was true and the way in which he meant it. And as I accepted this statement, my eyes began opening to examples of things in my life, things in my business, things in my family, things in our school that need improvement or that aren't all perfect. So at a risk of being considered discouragingly negative or maybe irrationally revolutionary, I'd like to suggest that what is happening at our schools may be wrong. Not morally wrong, but rather imperfect. It's not quite there, not quite what it could be. So if it's not right, in that sense, it's wrong. So maybe we should say flawed. Our methods of education, our discussions, they're flawed. Our policies, our processes, our routines are flawed. Maybe even our board meeting discussion formats. There are ways in which they can be improved. They can be bettered. That's why you're here. So thank you for coming. Through the meeting, I've talked to many of you, and I've heard from many of you already a deep realization that there are things in our community, things in our school, things in our board that need to improve and need to change. And so I almost felt bad coming forward with this proposition yet. I don't want to drive another dagger into you and say that you're all wrong. You're on the right path by recognizing that. But yesterday I heard Doug describing this attitude that we might have that we've kind of got school checked off. We've got it together. We've got it taken care of. And so I'd like to shake us out of that complacency and help us ask the question, are we doing it right? And if it's not exactly right, how can we improve? Your job as a board is to identify what is wrong, or what's imperfect, and to make it less wrong. We're still human, we live here in the world, and not everything is going to be perfect. We're working with imperfect people, we're working even with ourselves, but we're gonna try to make it less wrong. We're on the path to perfection. You've heard the saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Well, I want to change that a little bit to say, if it's not broke, break it. And what I mean by that is recognize the imperfection that is in it, be that a process at your school, be that the way that you interact with the teachers. It's working, school's happening, that's good. But don't rest there. Analyze it. Look at it. Look for the imperfections in it so that you can be on a process of growth and improvement. redesign it, improve it. Our ideas could be wrong. It was one time believed that the earth was flat. When I come out here, I understand why people thought that. I'll go over some of these for sake of time. Thomas Edison had a gas lantern, perhaps, and it may not have been broken. It was working. But think with me about him a little bit. While that gas lantern was working, he recognized that even though it wasn't broken, it was still not a perfect light source. What's wrong with it? Maybe it was hot, it was smoky, produced fumes, it wasn't very portable, it was dangerous, had to be fed with fossil fuels. And so Thomas Edison invented the incandescent light bulb. A perfect light source, right? No, there's stuff that's wrong with it. Produces a lot of heat, more heat than necessary. It has a relatively short life. It's an energy hog, right? And so man designed the CFL, a better bulb, right? Maybe a little longer lifespan, ran a little bit cooler, but it has mercury in it. It's not easy to recycle it. Of course, development continues, and we have the LED light bulb. So much better. It's smaller, it's brighter, it's cooler, it's energy efficient. It's excellent, isn't it? I hope we can all recognize that while the LED light bulb is leaps and bounds ahead of this gas lantern, it's still not a perfect light source. I'm not going to say what's wrong with it today. When we get to heaven and see the perfect light source, I'm sure we'll know more about it. But the same thing is true in our school. When we embrace the idea or the concept that every aspect of our school, our methods, our school boards, has the potential for weakness and faults, and there's room for improvement, I think that it suddenly empowers us to look for opportunities to improve. Alternatively, when you say that nothing is wrong at your school, you become satisfied, you become complacent and stagnant, and things go downhill from there. Howard Hendricks said, "I believe the greatest threat to teaching is satisfaction, because the good is the enemy of the better, and the better is the enemy of the best." May I modify that just a little bit? Is it possible that the greatest threat to improvement in our schools is satisfaction? I've recognized the need in my personal life for change and growth, and this book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, has been very helpful to me recently and inspirational. Have some of you read it? I'm glad to see that, and encourage more of you to read it if you'd like to. Stephen Covey here presents 7 Habits for Personal Change, and I know we're not talking about personal change today, we're talking about school boards. But I'd like to think about the first 3 habits that Stephen Covey mentions in this book and how they relate to me at school or to us at school board meetings and in direction of our school. Having recognized that we are imperfect and that what is happening in our school and our lives, maybe even our businesses and our families, is wrong or has imperfections and flaws to it to a greater or lesser extent, our aim is to become less wrong, to improve. We need to be proactive. And one of the negatives of speaking at the end of this meeting is hearing everybody else say the things that I'm planning to say. But that's good, because we need to hear it. So I've heard several times already yesterday about the need to be proactive, and that's good. School board, you have been given an assignment, a responsibility to direct your school. The buck stops with you. Andrew Yoder used that yesterday in a workshop as well. Example of President Harry S. Truman, who recognized that it was his responsibility. The buck stops right here. What does it mean to be proactive? I'm going to talk about responsibility and about our circle of influence. We come into the world dependent. We tend to blame our situation on other people. It's not my fault, it's something else. There's a stimulus, something that comes in, and that just produces our response. Being proactive means that we need to move beyond the helplessness of situations causing us to react, and we need to respond out of a sense of our values. Suppose our community just doesn't have a high view of education or appreciation for education. If only we could get teachers who would do their jobs better, or there's just not enough money at our school, so we can't. That's stimulus reaction. This stuff is coming in, I just can't do anything about it. Think about responsibility this way. You have the ability to choose your response. Of course, there are those negative things, and we maybe can't change them, but we have the opportunity and the ability to choose our response, my personal response, to that situation. Being proactive means to have the personal ability to choose a response to the situations that are coming your way. And that's based on your inner core values. We'll be talking about that just a little bit later. Being proactive means operating within your circle of influence. By definition, being proactive also means being anticipatory or thinking ahead, dealing with situations before they become a big problem. This idea of circle of influence, we've got two circles, well, four in front of you, but there's a circle of influence and a circle of concern. Stephen Covey talks about this. The circle of influence is the thing that you have the direct power to control, to adjust, to change. The circle of concern is things that you care about but can't really directly do something about. When you stand inside your circle of influence and complain about the things that are out there in your circle of concern, you cripple yourself and you cause your circle of influence to get smaller and smaller. Instead of saying our community just doesn't appreciate education, so we can't help that our school struggles, what about saying that maybe I could send a card to each teacher this week saying that I appreciate the effort that you're putting into our church through your work at school? Are you part of the community? Can you change how much your community appreciates your school, your work? Of course you can. That's within your circle of influence. That's something you can do. And when you operate inside your circle of influence, it will expand. Being proactive is thinking about what you can do, choosing what you can do to improve the situation. Think about the biblical example of Joseph. Sold into Egypt, in Potiphar's house, in prison. Small circle of influence, right? Did he sit there and complain? No, he operated faithfully within that circle of influence, and it grew. His circle of influence grew. His ability to change situations around him grew incredibly, and God used him widely there. Be proactive. Sit in the driver's seat. You, as the school board, you need to take control of the situation. Instead of complaining about what you can't control, choose what you can do and begin doing that. Be proactive. Secondly, begin with the end in mind. You've heard this yesterday as well. Begin with the end in mind. Everything is made twice. First of all, there is the mental, conceptual creation of something, and later comes the physical creation of something. There are some cabinet makers here in the audience, I suppose, that understand that before a nice kitchen comes this, a conceptual idea of what should be created, and then later can come the creation. You as builders know that this house did not exist without a blueprint. Some do, actually. My dad would love to tell you this story, but as a young boy, we were riding down the road about 2 miles from our house, and we saw a neighbor running a bulldozer out in the field beside the road. And so, being neighborly and curious about what was going on, we stopped in and said hello. And Dad asked him, Chesley, what are you doing here? And Chesley said, he's getting ready to build a new house. And Dad was kind of interested in building a house for his family someday and curious. And so he asked if it'd be okay if he saw the blueprints. And Chesley said, well, he doesn't have any blueprints. And Dad said, really? Well, how do you know how big to make the hole? And Chesley says, well, I just figured I'd dig a hole that about any house would fit in. There's a problem with that, isn't it? You think it's ever possible that we would run our school that way? Now, Chesley had a mental idea of what house he wanted to build, so he had some idea how big to make his hole. But since that idea was not conceptualized onto paper or put into paper and ink, it was not possible to transfer that idea to a contractor, to a builder, or to a team. Is it possible that we have an idea what we want, but we haven't put it down in paper and ink? And this is the habit to begin with the end in mind. Put together a blueprint, put together a drawing of what you want. And you've heard about this a lot yesterday too. I appreciate the comments that were made and won't spend a lot of time talking about this. But if you don't have a clear mission statement, vision statement at your school, it's time to make one. In fact, I was wondering if creation of a mission statement is something that's been on CASB's list before or not. If not, maybe it should go on as a workshop, working together next year. Your mission statement, vision statement, is built on your values, your vision, what's important to you. Many mission statements get filed and forgotten. So in order to keep mission statements effective, they need to be alive. We need to continue to see them and read them. Read them at every staff meeting, perhaps. Read them at every board meeting. And we need cooperative ownership. If you read Stephen Covey's book, he tells you some amazing stories about an experience that he had at a motel where he was holding a conference and the customer service that he experienced there. And it was related to a mission statement there that had become everybody's mission statement because everybody worked together to create it. We might say it's not practical to create our mission statement all the time. Maybe you say, we've got one, it was created in, 1983, or whenever. It's time to pull that out, to review it, check. Is this mission statement still what is important to us? The mission statement at our school, and I'll freely admit that it's time that I review and revitalize it. Fincastle Mennonite School exists to prepare children and young adults to love the Lord with all their heart, to serve God, to serve others, by equipping them with the necessary academic and vocational skills to be an asset wherever they may live and labor. So to be effective, your mission statement needs to be cooperatively built. It needs to be under continual review, maybe not so much to keep it current, but to keep me current, to make sure that I'm still there. Habit number three, put first things first. Everything we do can be classified as an item that's important or urgent, or maybe not important and not urgent. The important items are items that help you reach your vision, your mission, that which you've outlined that's of value to you. The urgent items are the brush fires we heard about yesterday, things that require immediate attention. Some important items are developing your school culture, thinking about what is your vision for your graduates. How are you going to change your hidden curriculum or develop your hidden curriculum. We all have one, we learned yesterday. So how are you going to change it? How are you going to modify it? How are you going to make it into what you want it to be? How are you going to care for your teachers? Your teachers are your most valuable asset. How are you going to keep them going, long lasting? These are important questions. But if you don't get them discussed at this board meeting, nobody will really know. They'll just drift off. Next board meeting, they can be pushed off. Because the urgent takes the place of the important and pushes it away. Urgent items are things like the drinking fountain or the furnace died. We need 3 teachers by this August. Now that one's also important. It helps you reach your mission. But right now it's urgent. It's a brush fire. The field trip needs to be planned. The upper grade class has a disrespect issue. So all of the time that we spend in board meeting or maybe in personal reflection about the school can be put into one of these 4 quadrants. So items that are urgent and important need to be done now, and they help us reach our mission. Items that are important but not urgent, we just described, they can be put off, but it's important to do them because they help create the school that we need. Items that are urgent but not important need to be taken care of. Put somebody in charge of them and get them done. The items that are not urgent and not important is like discussing the truck crash that happened at your board meeting. I mean, discussing at your board meeting the truck crash that happened last week. Or checking your Facebook account, whatever. Okay, it doesn't matter. So we need to spend no time down in that category. And we need to get more of our board meeting time spent discussing items that are important, but not necessarily urgent. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to talk about what is important, but not necessarily urgent? Well, you need to know what it is. We've already talked about that. You need to schedule it. You need to do this on purpose, or it'll never happen. I suggest at least having an annual calendar of important things to discuss, to put on the agenda before they become urgent items. And I know many of you are doing this already. Good job, keep it up. For those of you that are finding yourself behind the ball rather than on it, make an annual calendar. When should we be talking about curriculum development for next year? When should we be talking about rehiring teachers? When should we be looking at how the classrooms are going to be divided up next year? And make sure that that is happening at the right time so it doesn't become an urgent item. See, the job of a fireman is not just putting out fires. More important is fire prevention. And as we spend more time talking about the important items, we will have to spend less time being overrun by the urgent items and be much more productive. I think you should put one item of vision or development on the agenda for every board meeting. Brainstorm. Talk. This is that important item. Something like developing our school culture, vision for our graduates, changing our hidden curriculum. Things we heard yesterday, this 7 topics that Doug mentioned. What are our specific goals? How well are we doing with communication? Or maybe as Jonathan Erb spoke last night, we're meeting national academic requirements easily before graduation. Could we be spending some extra time in high school planting seeds for kingdom work in our students' hearts? Gerald told us that hidden curriculum is what sticks with us after the formal curriculum is forgotten. So you need to spend some time thinking about that. It takes a lot more time to choose and change your hidden curriculum than your formal curriculum, because you don't just have 3 options on the table and take a vote between them. But it takes analysis and discussion. Would it be possible, maybe just every other meeting, to put one item for vision and development, an item that's important but not urgent? It wouldn't need to be done this month. Put it on there and do some thinking about it. Maybe it can turn into growth for your school. Time for reflection. Do you find yourself busy? I'm sure you do. You're our businessmen, you're working jobs, you're trying to visit school, you're attending board meetings, you're active in your church. That's good. So this is something that I find a deep need of personally. Instead of leaving my job and running to meet with the teachers for an hour and a half and coming home for supper and then going to board meeting, and I have, it's easy for me to move from one to another and not actually spend time for personal reflection on what is going on in our school, what is the current state, what needs to be happening, and putting my finger on the pulse. I think I need to take more time for reflection. Focus. You have a list of 18 things from the meeting this weekend that you want to do next week for your school? Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but I don't think it'll all happen. You need to focus. I'd like to take maybe 30 seconds right now and take your pen and write down one thing that you're going to be working on maybe this coming week or this coming month that you're taking home from this meeting. It can be something you're going to discuss with your board, something you're going to change at your board meeting, something you're going to do for your teachers. Write down one thing. Maybe you already have 18 things. Put an asterisk by the one that you think is most important. I don't mind if you have three things and if you put them in order of priority, but I think it's important to choose something that we're going to do. And I should take a little bit more time and say, now write down three ways in which you're going to, or three ideas on how you could implement that, or maybe the way that you are going to implement that, or maybe write the date on which you will do this or that. I don't think I'll take time for that, but I want you to take it that seriously, because if we don't focus, if we don't narrow down and zero in and say, this is what needs to happen, this is how I'm going to do it, this is when I'm going to do it, it doesn't happen. Now, I'm speaking from personal experience, and I know that many of you are better managers of your person than I am. I need to grow in that. How to do it? Humbly admit that everything I do, we do, is flawed. And be proactive. Begin with the end in mind and put first things first. Continue to make your experience at school a little less wrong. Now go do it. May God bless your efforts.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.